The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Better Homes and Gardens, Good Housekeeping, Martha Stewart Living, Real Simple, and Woman's Day. And let's jump right on in. I can find my stuff. With this one from Good Housekeeping, In the Classroom with Joe Biden. When we caught up with the First Lady, her students call her Dr. B, she shared her teaching style and the joys and challenges of the profession. Dr. Biden says, and this is a question and answer, what made you want to become a teacher? In college, I started working with older students who struggled with reading. I've always wanted to read, and I always loved to read and wanted to help them find that same joy that I found in books. What's most rewarding? There's nothing like helping students find their confidence and begin to use their voices, or seeing that spark light up in their eyes the moment a concept falls into place. Why is community college so important? Community colleges are engines of economic prosperity. Most importantly, they meet the needs of students and communities. Offering flexible classes so students don't have to choose between work and school, giving training for real-world jobs that tailor to the communities they serve, and providing a strong foundation for a four-year degree. Tell us about a time students had a lasting impact on you. A few years ago, I had to miss time at school when my sister was having cancer treatments. I got emotional when I explained the situation to my students and turned around to the whiteboard to hide my face. When I turned back around, the entire class was standing. Each student came up to give me a hug. Until that moment, I didn't realize how much I needed their strength. I recognized then that this community of students was my family, too. And then a couple things that she filled in herself. Favorite book to teach. I love teaching the classics, To Kill a Mockingbird, The Scarlet Letter, and The Great Gatsby. Most recently, I taught Born a Crime by Trevor Noah. Do you prefer note-taking on laptops or by hand? And she answered, by hand. Most memorable teaching moment, every first day of school. Favorite place to grade papers? In my sunroom. Chalkboard or whiteboard? Whiteboard! Exclamation point. One thing always sitting on your desk? To-do list. Biggest grammar pet peeve? Correct use of I versus me. Teaching philosophy in one sentence? So much of teaching is helping students develop their confidence and uncover the strengths that are already inside of them. And trickiest school subject for her? Math. Next from Real Simple, Oh, the People You'll Meet. From selfless plane passengers to unlikely comrades, these memorable encounters show that every trip can lead to a new connection. The first experience, the prince I met in India. Backpacking in India in 2014, my boyfriend and I splurged on a quiet hotel made up of bamboo bungalows tucked away on a tranquil beach in Goa. Our second night, the hotel filled unexpectedly with guests. Workers in uniform began setting up tables and cooking stations in the sand. They built cabanas and strung up lights. The prince of a small nearby town was getting married that week, and his sangeet, the celebration before the wedding, was taking place that night. When the sun set and the sangeet began, with Hindi music and spice-laced smoke filling the air, my boyfriend and I slipped onto the beach. We were immediately greeted by the young prince and his exuberant wedding party, who offered us food and drink in an abundance of dancing, laughter, and warmth. By the end of the night, we'd been formally invited to the remaining wedding events. We arrived the next day at the best man's home, where we ate green chutney-rubbed fish on a glass balcony overlooking the ocean. The following night, we watched the bride kick over a pot of rice at the threshold of her new home, the rambling 17th-century palace complex where we'd just attended the wedding. For 3 days, we'd stumbled upon a magical alternate reality that opened and closed. At the end of the week, the prince and his friends returned to their lives, and my boyfriend and I to our backpacking, with just pictures and a delirious afterglow to prove it was real. And that was Cicely Wong, W-O-N-G, author of Gastro Obscura. Next, The Boy I Met in Dewey Beach, Delaware. It was the summer of 2001. I was 16 and walking on the beach with my best friend when a guy with bleached blonde tips and a shell necklace asked if we were models. Our families set up blankets next to one another, and the boy and I ended up hanging out all week. We exchanged post-it notes with our AIM screen names before returning home, him to New York and me to Pennsylvania. We kept in touch, reconnected at a Yankees game as adults, and 15 years after our summer at the beach, got married. I still have that post-it note. That was Heather Muir Maffei. And the skier I met in California. I sat next to an amazing 80-year-old woman on the chairlift during a ski trip once. She told me she'd had shoulder surgery earlier that year and a hip replacement just before that. Since her husband couldn't come up the mountain anymore, she was with a girlfriend. We took a quick photo together before she hopped off the lift and sped down the hill. My hero. And that was Gay Lang. The woman I met in Texas. I was at the Texas Book Festival in Austin, sitting in the back and suffering from a hot flash. A woman came in late and sat next to me, and she noticed I was sweating. She reached into her bag, handed me a black and purple sequined fan, and said, "Keep it. I have it on my desk as a reminder of the quiet goodness in this world." And that was Chris Kander. Next, the family I met in Florida. In 2000, my family vacationed in Destin. While grilling one evening in the condo development where we were staying, my father-in-law struck up a conversation with a man waiting for his turn on a grill. We ended up having dinner with this family at the picnic tables. This led to sharing beach time and more meals. By week's end, we had formed a friendship and planned on coming back the same week the following year. For 2 decades, we have vacationed together every year. We have become family, watching our children grow, celebrating marriages and the births of grandchildren, mourning the loss of parents, attending retirement parties, and so much more. Every other year, they travel from Florida to join us in Kentucky for Thanksgiving with our extended family. They are like family to everyone. We are thankful that all the grills were full those 20 years ago, and that God put these amazing people in our lives to share this journey. That was at A Little Piece of Keech. The kid I met in an airport, and this is the last one, I believe. In 2014, my husband and I took a trip to Costa Rica where he proposed. On the way home, a little boy from Kentucky came up to us in the airport and entertained us nonstop with his hilarious jokes. He opened with, "My name is Ashby and my parents say I'm obnoxious." 5 years later, we had our very own Ashby, our first child, named for our most memorable trip. And that was Callie W.P. Next, from Millie, Your Money or Your Life. And that was a sample magazine they've been sending me quarterly, I believe. Their staff picks for reading. When several of the book clubs she was an active member of fizzed out, Gabby LePage wanted to cultivate a consistent book-loving community. The first Literary League group met in Atlanta in 2019 and has since grown to nearly 50 chapters across the country. The ladies of the Literary League use their platform to uplift authors of all backgrounds and identities, with a focus on books written by BIPOC and female authors. Now, I didn't know what BIPOC was. I looked it up. Black, Indigenous, and People of Color. Their voices are necessary, valued, and treasured, says LePage. We are a community of empathetic readers who hope to learn from stories while also encouraging others to join in. Here are 8 books they're excited to dive into this summer. First one, called That Summer, by Jennifer Weiner, W-E-I-N-E-R. My ideal, and this is an opinion from someone in the book club, my ideal summer read is something that's a bit lighter and fun, but still has depth and great characters. And Jennifer Weiner is so good at striking that balance. Plus, I'm a sucker for a summer book set on the shores of New England. That was Michelle Martin. Next, the book For the Wolf by Hannah Witten, W-H-I-T-T-E-N. I'm always looking for a great fantasy novel to escape into, and this is one I'm most excited about this summer, and that was Alexis Noville. Next one, called One Last Stop by Casey McQuiston, M-C-Q-U-I-S-T-O-N. If there's one thing you can count on from Casey, it's a sweet, hilarious, heartwarming story. And that was Lizzie Shimmer's opinion. Next book, It Had to Be You by Georgia Clark, C-L-A-R-K. This novel is a greatest hits of romantic fiction tropes, and boy, does it pack a heartwarming punch. If When Harry Met Sally and Love Actually had a baby, it would be this book. And that was Mackenzie Leavenworth. Book She Who Became the Sun by Shelley Parker Chan, P-A-R-K-E-R-C-H-A-N. It has everything I love in a story. Historical references, an action-filled plot, and a female protagonist with the drive to beat the odds life has thrown at her. I can't wait to dive into this debut novel. That was Carly Radish. Next book, The Kindred Spirits Supper Club by Amy E. Reichert, R-E-I-C-H-E-R-T. I gravitate towards small-town rom-coms all year round, and The Kindred Spirits Supper Club satisfies both of those while mixing in food and a whimsical twist. And that was Gabriella LePage. The Other Black Girl by Zakia Dalila Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S. If you need the middle name too, it's D-A-L-I-L-A. I love this eccentric and complex book at the Black experience, look at the Black experience in the publishing world. The author is a former editorial assistant at Knopf, which adds a nuanced perspective to this experience. And that was Taryn Denny. And the last one, The Dating Plan by Sarah Desai, D-E-S-A-I. A classic, over-the-top meet-cute with relatable characters and a rich family element provides the perfect escape during a time when the world can be overwhelming. The best part? You'll be able to recapture the magic with each installment of the series. And this, Renee Watson. From Martha Stewart Living, a quick quote, "Nature does not hurry, yet everything is accomplished." That was Lao Tzu. From Good Housekeeping, some small space cleaning tips. Keeping cramped quarters efficient requires thought. With these tips from Good Housekeeping's cleaning pro, Carolyn Forte, even the smallest areas will be hugely functional. 1. Use little tools. Cleaning tight spaces can be a real chore with oversized vacuums and long-handled dusters. Invest in a mini duster or a slim handheld vacuum for quick spruce-ups. 2. Don't forget the doors. If you're lucky enough to have cabinet doors in your space, mount caddies, hooks, rods, and other holders to their backs so you can store essentials out of sight. 3. Stretch shelf space. Outfit narrow shelves in a pantry or an office corner with turntables and tiered organizers. Condiments, spices, or even desk supplies will stay neat, visible, and within reach. 4. Clear off surfaces. Small spaces seem larger with less in them. Try to keep only the bare necessities on flat tables and desktops, and use pretty baskets and covered ottomans on the floor to hold extra blankets, towels, magazines, toys, and more. And 5. Choose mess-proof finishes to keep your area from turning into a disaster zone when coffee or wine is spilled. Go for easy-to-clean counter and desk surfaces like quartz and laminate. Protect cushions and pillows with a stain-repellent spray. From Real Simple, lean into alone time. Even after months of lockdown, it's important to spend quality time with ourselves. Allow these insights to help you cherish moments of solitude. 1. Embrace a new hobby. A hobby can help you carve out time for solitude while working from home. To find one, think about something challenging you enjoy that will give you room to grow. I'm a big fan of reading, so I often listen to an audiobook as I paint. To do this, I step away from all distractions, like my computer. Two caveats: don't create so many hobbies that they become a form of work. And try not to imagine that your new project can be a side hustle. Alone time is most replenishing when you just have fun. That was Kate Hammer, lifestyle design expert and business coach in Syracuse, New York. Next tip, sit with a tree. It's lovely to spend time with yourself in nature. Though you may be alone as far as human interaction goes, you're still surrounded by life forces like trees and birds. If you feel lonely, consciously tune in to the beauty around you with your senses. For instance, home in on a tree. Some people climb them, some sit in the nook of the roots. Feel the texture of the bark and think about how, with every breath, you're connecting with that tree. It won't take long before you realize that rather than isolation, you're experiencing a deep, rich solitude. And that was Melanie Chukas Bradley. Spell that, Chukas-Bradley. She's a naturalist and the author of 7 books on nature, including The Joy of Forest Bathing, Reconnect with Wild Places, and Rejuvenate Your Life. That's all one title. 3, treat solitude like a significant other. Spending time alone is the only way to become emotionally independent. Any activity you do with intention, swimming laps, taking a daily walk, offers you freedom to listen to your thoughts. At first, you'll think about your to-do list, but more interesting desires, fears, and ideas will begin to bubble up. You'll see that emotional independence brings resilience, strength, and clarity about which people you want in your life. And that's Christine Reed, R-E-E-D, author of Alone in Wonderland. Next, experience awe. Studies show that when we contemplate the indescribable, it broadens our perspective and shrinks the self, which quiets the negative chatter in our head. That lets us enjoy the time with ourselves. The trick is to pinpoint your awe triggers. Think about what has made you feel wonder. Maybe you felt it when looking up at skyscrapers, or studying paintings, or watching a toddler toddle. Spending your time with these kinds of awe-inspiring things makes you better able to savor being alone. That was Ethan Kross, Ph.D., and that's K-R-O-S-S, the author of Chatter, The Voice in Our Head, Why It Matters, and How to Harness It. And last, take it easy. Following the pandemic, many of us will want to throw ourselves back into our social lives, but it's important to recognize that we'll continue to need more alone time than we think. We learned to fear physical actions, like shaking hands, and that won't go away overnight. Our autonomic nervous system, which has done a great job of reacting to keeping us safe, requires time to digest the new rules. Giving ourselves and others space to be alone is nourishing and will help us heal. If you need a moment to breathe and adjust, that's okay. And empathize with those who crave more alone time than you do. It's all part of a rejuvenation. And that was Christine Runyon, Ph.D., professor of family medicine and community health at the University of Massachusetts Medical School and a co-founder of Tend Health. Next, we move to a couple of recipes for you. First, from Martha Stewart Living, gnocchi with sausage, zucchini, and tomato. We need 1 tablespoon extra virgin olive oil, 8 ounces sweet Italian sausage, or about 3 links, casings removed, 1 large or 2 small zucchini, that's about 12 ounces, cut into a half-inch dice, about 2 cups worth, 1 pound mixed tomatoes, such as beefsteak and cherry, coarsely chopped, about 3 cups, kosher salt and freshly ground pepper, 1 package, 17.5 ounces of gnocchi, such as DeCecco, DeCecco, 1/3 of a cup pesto, homemade or store-bought, such as Buitoni, and fresh basil leaves for serving, and that's optional. Heat a large straight-sided skillet over medium-high. Swirl in oil, then add sausage and cook, breaking up pieces with a wooden spoon until beginning to brown, 3 to 4 minutes. Add zucchini and cook, stirring occasionally until beginning to brown, 3 to 4 minutes. Add tomatoes, season with salt and pepper, and cook until they start to break down and release their juices, 3 to 5 minutes. Meanwhile, cook gnocchi in a large pot of salted boiling water according to package instructions. Reserve 1 cup pasta water. Drain. Transfer gnocchi to a skillet and toss to coat, adding pasta water as needed to create a silky sauce. Season to taste. Stir in pesto, sprinkle with basil, and serve immediately. Active in total time, 30 minutes, and that one serves 4. From Real Simple, Kitchen Hero, jarred artichokes. A fresh artichoke may be a thing of stark beauty, but on a busy weeknight, looks are overrated. So put away the paring knife and twist open a jar instead. Not only will you be rewarded with succulent artichokes, but that briny liquid is an instant flavor booster. Store it in the fridge for future marinades. Stir it into a creamy topping for chicken, or use it to upgrade mac and cheese. As for the artichokes themselves, they'll add taste and texture to almost any meat, veggie, or pasta dish in your repertoire. No effort beyond jar opening required. So here are their ideas. Artichoke chicken. Drain 2 12-ounce jars marinated quartered artichoke hearts, reserving 1 tablespoon liquid. Stir 1/3 cup grated pecorino, 1/4 cup mayonnaise, and 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt into the liquid. Arrange 4 boneless, skinless chicken breasts and artichokes on a baking sheet. Spread mayonnaise mixture over the chicken. Bake at 425 for 22 to 25 minutes. Cook 1/4 cup panko and 1 tablespoon butter in a skillet over medium until golden, 3 minutes. Sprinkle over the chicken. How about roasted artichokes and potatoes? Toss 1 pound halved baby new potatoes, 2.5 tablespoons olive oil, and 1 teaspoon each kosher salt and smoked paprika on a baking sheet. Scatter 2 12-ounce jars marinated quartered artichoke hearts, drained, around the potatoes. Roast at 450 until the potatoes are browned, 35 minutes. Top with chopped parsley. And artichoke mac? Drain 1 12-ounce jar marinated quartered artichoke hearts, reserving 1/3 cup liquid. Chop artichokes. Melt 3 tablespoons butter in a large pot. Add 3 tablespoons flour. Whisk for 2 minutes. Whisk in 1 teaspoon grated garlic and 2 cups half and half until thickened, 4 minutes. Stir in 2 cups shredded fontina, 1/2 cup grated parmesan, and artichoke liquid. Add 4 cups cooked macaroni and artichokes. Cook for 3 minutes. From Better Homes and Gardens, pour, sip, relax. An ice-cold glass of tea is the antidote to any hot summer day, or Indian summer as we're in. Cool things down and jazz things up by filling your glass with one of these 3 refreshers. First, a green tea float. Like an extra decadent iced matcha latte. Add 1 to 2 scoops matcha green tea ice cream to a tall glass. Pour 1/2 cup of brewed chilled green tea and 1/4 to 1/2 cup ginger ale over the ice cream. That's it. And it said for an easy swap, if you don't have matcha ice cream, use vanilla for a milder flavor. It will be just as creamy. Next, an herbed Arnold Palmer. Infuse the classic iced tea lemonade combo with an herb syrup. In a small saucepan, heat 1 cup water and 1 cup sugar until just simmering, starting to dissolve sugar. Remove from heat and add 2 tablespoons fresh mint leaves or dried lavender buds. Cover. Let stand 2 hours. Meanwhile, in a medium saucepan, bring 4 cups water to a simmer. Remove from heat, Add 5 bags of black tea, steep 5 minutes. Remove tea bags, squeezing gently. Let tea cool completely. Strain and discard herbs from the syrup. In a pitcher, stir together tea, syrup, and 3/4 cup lemon juice. Serve over ice. And for a London Fog Spritz, a sparkling iced version of the traditional Earl Grey tea latte, in a glass, combine 1 cup brewed chilled Earl Grey tea, 1 tablespoon vanilla syrup, which they're going to tell me about in a second, 1 tablespoon heavy cream, and 1/4 cup sparkling water. Serve over ice. To make the vanilla syrup, in a small saucepan, heat 1/2 cup water and 1/2 cup sugar till just simmering, stirring to dissolve the sugar. Remove from heat and add 1 teaspoon vanilla bean paste. Cover, let cool, and chill for up to 2 weeks. From Martha Stewart Living, some substitutes you can use in the kitchen. If you're missing kosher salt, it amplifies the flavor of everything it touches. And the smart substitute would be 1/2 teaspoon table or fine sea salt equals 1 teaspoon diamond crystal kosher salt. If you're missing shallots, the petite bronze-skinned alliums lend subtle sweetness and a slight bite to vinaigrettes, etc. You can use red or white onions or leeks, plus a pinch of minced garlic. Fish sauce. This South Asian staple offers bright, briny notes and a deep umami, i.e. flavor that's intensely savory and fishy in a good way, to soups, stews, and stir-fries. So if you're missing fish sauce, equal parts soy sauce and rice vinegar mixed with 1 minced anchovy. We'll sub. Tomato paste. It intensifies any tomato sauce. You can also fry a spoonful with aromatics for a hint of sweetness and acidity when cooking a pot roast or stew. A substitute? Ketchup. Or simmer down double the amount of marinara sauce. Capers. Salty, tangy, floral bites when you sprinkle them on salads or tossing them with roasted vegetables halfway through the cook time. To sub, chopped mild green olives, mild pickled peppers, or pickles. If you're missing Dijon mustard, which delivers spice, tang, and a vinegary punch, you can use grainy or spicy brown mustard or horseradish in a pinch. And if you need tender herbs, use the same amount of another tender herb. And for heartier herbs, thyme, oregano, rosemary, marjoram, an equal amount of another hearty herb or 1/2 the amount of dried. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Ladies Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.